Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings. It is 5:35 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer live in location, Ford Hall. Oilers Now brought to you by our title sponsor, World of Spas, and we are here live at Ford Hall, courtesy of our friends at Contract Equipment Limited. Just before we went to break, it was a relatively tough question. Wasn't a softball in any way, shape, or form. Name the only Edmonton Oilers player that tonight will be making his NHL playoff debut. All the other Oilers skaters have played, but there is one player that has not actually seen action in the playoffs. The correct answer is Sam Carrick, and congratulations to Stu. Stu, you're entered to be in the mix to win the draw for the Stuart Skinner autographed jersey. Courtesy of our friends at Pro-Am Sports, who shortly, I believe, will be announcing a Corey Perry signing taking place. Corey's a very popular player here in the Edmonton market. Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. Check out their menu at royalpizza.ca. Stauffer recommendation at Royal Pizza, the Mediterranean Chicken. Brendan Escott, who's coming up with this day in Oilers history, he is a fan of the Texan. Reed Wilkins has got Inside Sports most nights, and of course the City Ford Faceoff show tonight from Studio 99 at 6 o'clock. Reed likes the meat lovers. We head off to the River Creek Resort Casino Hotline for Horse Racing Alberta, and racing returns just a couple of weeks away. May the 4th be with you. May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, go to thehorses.com. We welcome back to the show. I believe he's out in Vancouver right now, Frank Saravalli. Frank, how you doing?
Pretty good, Bob. Give me a vibe check. Is anyone in Ford Hall at the moment?
They're cruising through. It's going to be crazy here in about an hour. But we're 2.5 hours out before the game. So usually
pretty
around
good buzz in there. I love being in Ford Hall before a big game.
Yeah, you know, it's a big game. They're taking on the LA Kings for the third year in a row. We'll get to the Oilers and the Kings. Maybe explain to the listeners where you are right now.
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver with the Canucks and Preds. I'm going to be on this series from start to finish. And pretty interesting debut for the Canucks. 12 seconds changed everything, but really patient game by them, and I liked their approach.
They were physical. They pounded Nashville early in that game, Frank.
Did they tire you out or what?
No, not at all. No, we had a little, I dropped something, so I had to reach and grab it. So, no, what did you, I'm just like, were you surprised at the degree of physicality that Vancouver brought right from the opening shift of the game?
No, I think that was part of their game plan. I think that's also part of their MO. I mean, you have players like Dakota Joshua that have really found themselves in the NHL and have carved out a really nice role. That guy was a menace last night against the Nashville Predators. He was awesome. And he's going to be one of those playoff players that I think you pay attention to because you have to at this time of year with the way the game changes. And, you know, some big hits from Ian Cole, and JT Miller plays physical. And, you know, you even see Elias Lindholm start a sequence on the forecheck that ends up with the Dakota Joshua goal. I mean, the game, if you could just take those 12 seconds of that shift and that forecheck and how they scored and bottle that up, that to me is playoff hockey in one rambunctious 12-second clip.
Yeah, we're joined right now by Frank Saravalli for the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta. So Vancouver up 1-0 in their series. So far, the home games have won every game.
6-0.
6-0 at home. The Edmonton Oilers opening up at home against the LA Kings, and this is the third consecutive year of this matchup. And what we have learned is the Oilers don't need to win game one of a series to win a series. As you know, 2 years ago, they lost game one at home against LA, won the series, lost game one in Calgary. ended up winning four straight in that series. Last year, lost game one against the LA Kings, still won the series. That said, Frank, it's crazy. The Edmonton Oilers have not won a home opening game in a playoff series, a series which is open up at Rogers Place. They have not won a game in at home in game one of a series since May 2nd of 1990. That's a bizarre statistic.
Well, so you learn something new every day, courtesy of Oilers Now. But what I would say is we could learn something about whether this Oiler team has learned something the way they start the series. Is it a prerequisite to win game one? You just showed us why it isn't. But here's one thing that all Stanley Cup winning teams have in common, for the most part. At some point along their journey to 16 wins, they find a way to have a quick series. It's almost a necessity, at whether it's in the first round or round three or whatever it might be. You have to find a way to make quick work of a team if you can, and sometimes it's going to be unexpected. I don't think anyone thought 2 years ago that the Battle of Alberta would be a five-game series, and it
was. I didn't. I thought Calgary was, after they won 9-6 in game one and they're up 3-1 in game two, I thought Edmonton was in real trouble in that series. And instead, Frank went completely the other way.
But here's the thing. I think this team learned a ton of lessons this season. I think the way that they changed their game under Chris Knobloch, I think the efficiency that they showed at varying points, the attention to detail that they added to their game was critically important. But
no
you
question.
Have to do it in the playoffs. And you have
what
to
you-
prove it. And I think starting off with a business-like, workman-like, Edmonton blue-collar approach tonight is going to be the way to do it.
What do you see as a couple keys besides, you know, good start and attention to detail defensively? What does Edmonton need to do to prevail in the series? Because there's a lot of people that have overwhelmingly chosen the Oilers. We had this discussion on our panel with Jack Michaels, myself, and Tony Brar. Like, I'm quite respectful of how good LA has been. I do concur that Edmonton, look, they beat him twice. I think Edmonton's probably got a deeper team. They're older. There's no question about that. But the Kings have got a lot of depth at forward as well.
Which they're going to put on display tonight with that lineup, by the way. Like, they're trying to come at the Oilers in waves because that might be their only path to beat them.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. So give me a couple of the keys from your perspective, Edmonton LA, as we're joined by Frank Saravalli for the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta.
Number one is going to be patience. We know that this LA setup in the neutral zone, their structure, the 1-3-1, Drew Doughty acknowledged this season, it's not really fun to play. But with their team, it might be the only effective way to try and beat a team like Edmonton. The Oilers can pick through it. They've shown that they can beat it. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful right away. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to consistently be successful against it. So you're going to have to show some level of patience, which being at the Vancouver game last night, I thought was a really good example. The Canucks are not a chip and chase, place and chase team. They don't thump it in. They play with possession. Nashville made them do it. And instead of panicking, instead of trying to open the game up from that point on, what they did was just stick with what they like to do. And that ultimately ended up paying off in the third period. The Oilers could use a bit of that. Second thing is, and we've talked about this a lot, don't give up the home run. You want to give up a single or a double? Fine. But it doesn't need to be a home run. Try and limit the home run mistakes. And I think the third thing is, you know, when you look at LA and their depth and what they're trying to do with their lines, and instead of going top heavy, trying to space it out, when you have PL Dubois and Quentin Byfield on the same line together, whatever number you want to call that, fourth line or whatever it is, your bottom six in Edmonton is going to have to win you some battles. You're going to have to be able to tilt the ice and at least play to a neutral position so that your stars can then take over. Those are three things that jump out to me to start. And, oh, by the way, it would be nice if Stuart Skinner, given his playoff question marks, could show a little confidence.
And that's going to be, by the way, the Edmonton Oilers have officially recalled Philip Broberg for depth purposes up from Bakersfield. This was in discussion yesterday. We're joined right now by Frank Saravalli for Horse Racing Alberta. Racing returning May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, go to thehorses.com. Frank, what a surprise. Mark Stone's in the lineup tonight for Vegas when they're in Dallas. Your thoughts?
I think it's a significant competitive integrity issue for the NHL. I tweeted out the link today from Cap Friendly to the transactions and the dates of when Mark Stone has been injured in a season and comes back. I was the person who broke the news that Mark Stone lacerated his spleen, and at no point in time is the severity or seriousness of that injury in question. My question is the timing of his return. For the second year in a row, when you have a significant injury and all of a sudden, magically, you can start practicing the week before the playoffs begin, yeah, and then you enter the lineup for game one of the postseason, tells me that they realize that this is a player that probably could have played last week in the regular season, but conveniently they didn't have the ability to activate him because they don't have the cap space in the regular season. And essentially what they're doing is, and it's probably to be respected in some ways, as funny as it sounds,
you ain't cheating if you ain't trying, right?
That was the line we used growing up, but unless the NHL is stopping you, why would you do anything different?
Right.
And
absolutely.
They're using it to their full advantage, and now they get the heartbeat of their team back, the soul of their team, who was nearly a point-per-game player this year, by the way, back in the lineup for game one as the defending champs try and take down the number one team in the West. I think if you're an Oiler fan, what you're glad about is that they're on the other side of the bracket.
Me too. Me too, 100%. Absolutely 100% concur. Now, saying that, hey, LA can, they can get Edmonton too. They got a deeper squad than they had a couple years ago. By the way, Frank, Jay Woodcroft has a very different personality than Chris Knobloch. Chris Knobloch doesn't say a word to the officials. He's amongst one of the quietest coaches in the league.
I'd
just
love
like to
that.
Get you love that?
Yes.
And because I wonder at times whether or not you can be too demonstrative. You know what I'm saying?
You want to ask what the officials, what they think of Sheldon Keefe?
What do the officials think of Sheldon Keefe, Frank?
I don't know for sure, but I'd love to put a microphone in front of them next to a cold beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine getting shown up night in and night out, full-throated screaming from puck drop to final buzzer, is any way to develop a relationship with officials.
Yeah, 100%. Frank,
guess what? Someone reserved who makes a point, when they finally do speak up and say something, and if it's done in a respectful manner, it's going to go 10 times further. And more than
totally
that,
agree.
I'll take it a step further and say that I think the Toronto Maple Leafs feed off of their head coach's emotion in a negative way, because sometimes the way your coach, his demeanor is, you take and internalize that as a team.
Frank, a couple quick hitters. So the Maple Leafs, by the way, quick out-of-town update. NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing closing in on the end of the first period. I think there's about 12 seconds left in the period. The Leafs and the Bruins are tied 1-1. No score first period. Islanders and Carolina. Who do you got between Vegas and Dallas?
I got the Stars in 7.
Yeah,
that's what I had before the series started, and that's, obviously now including Mark Stone.
I got the Stars in 6. One final one for you, Colorado and Winnipeg. 46-23 were the shots. Craig Metavish said, Bob, Colorado, the scoring chance opportunities they gave up, the degree of difficulty too high for Alexander Georgiev. I look at it like, you would shoot a team 46-23. You don't expect to give up 7 goals. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I think the real lasting takeaway from game one is that I really didn't like the body language that the players had with Alex Georgiev, because it feels like they don't just this is just from afar, watching on TV. It feels like they don't trust him to make a save. And I think the body language inversely to them from him is that he doesn't trust them to defend well enough in front of him. And that could be a pretty tough combination in a playoff series.
Frank, enjoy game two in Vancouver tomorrow night. We'll be watching. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
Enjoy the start of the playoffs. Nothing like playoff hockey in Edmonton.
Awesome stuff. That is Frank Saravalli for the horses and horse racing in Alberta. Back with this day in Oilers history. It's 5:49 in Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now. As we go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel, explore Southeast Asia, a chartered river cruise next March. Reach out to newwesttravel.com. And here's Brendan Escott.
1984, the Oilers get three-point efforts from Wayne Gretzky, Jari Kurri, and Pat Hughes to beat the Calgary Flames 7-4 and win the Smythe Division. They advance to the Campbell Conference Final against the Minnesota North Stars.
Won that one, too. Then beat the Islanders. It was awesome. Great time to be alive. Brendan, you get the last word on the show. Edmonton and the LA Kings tonight. What's going to happen?
I'm excited to see just what kind of tone is set here. You know, is it Edmonton's offense that gets out on a bit of an onslaught like I think it can? Is there a physical tone set by one of the teams? And if so, what's the response like? Because I think finally Edmonton is well equipped to deal with that kind of thing. And that might be LA's only way into this series. So I'm jacked up more so than anything, Bob, though, to hear the entrance song hit and just listen to the fans take off.
All right, tomorrow we go to playoff hours, three full hours on non-Oilers game days, 4 to 7 Mountain Time on 630 Chet. Former NHL player, GM, and agent Brian Lawton will join us on tomorrow's show. For Montorio Homes, Rob Brown from the Oilers Radio Network, we will have open line time. Ron Lowe, the former Oilers head coach, will join us on the Tuesday edition of Oilers Now, and we'll have our farm report with Colin Chalk for Wave Bathroom Renovations. Reed Wilkins is upstairs in Studio 99 getting ready for the City Ford Face-Off Show. I will join you at 7. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn.